honored to have a guest preacher this morning, one of our missionary partners, and here to introduce him is Luke Mosteller, one of our members who has visited this missionary on the field.
Introduce someone who has become one of my all-time heroes and just a great, great friend. About a year ago, you all sent me to go visit Caleb and Myung in Taiwan. I went to be with them, to encourage them, to learn something for them, and learn how we could better support their ministry. But I left inspired, and I left humbled, and I left grateful for their perspective and their perseverance to fulfill the Great Commission. Caleb and Myung have planted Don Solid Rock Presbyterian Church. Caleb is the pastor there. And it is in their living room in their house in downtown Taipei. And they have watched it grow spiritually and numerically over the past few years. In your bulletin, you will find a list of questions that we have asked Caleb to answer. And he and I didn't leave you much room to take sermon notes, but there are questions that we asked him, and he answered those questions so that you would understand more about his ministry and more about what they do on day-to-day. So please take some time to look through that and pray for him and Myung. Caleb's one of the most driven passionate people that I know. He is fluent in three languages. He speaks English, Chinese, and, of course, he is a Korean native. He stays up late at night answering emails, planning Bible studies, praying and studying, and he awakes early in the morning. If he were a lawyer or a medical doctor, he would have one of the most successful practices on the planet, but instead he has chose to direct his motivation and his passion toward knowing the Lord and making him known in Taiwan and China and the other ends of the earth. Caleb's asked me to read our verse this morning. And I would ask if you would stand while we read the word. We're in Acts chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You may be seated. Please welcome my good personal friend, Dr. Caleb Chung.
Good morning. Today I'm honored to stand here to deliver God's word to you at this church. Christ Covenant Presbyterian Church is very special to me for two reasons. And one reason is that because you are one of the most welcoming congregations for us, I believe for other missionaries too. Every time Myung and I visit this church, we can feel the warmth of your love. We appreciate your love, prayer, and support. We also thank God for the leadership of this church, such as Pastor Andrew, the elders, and the missions committee. The other reason is that this church is very special to me is because about 13 years ago, I took two oral exams for my ordination in the PCA at this place. And back then, Pastor Andrew evaluated my exams, and he let me pass all the exams, so I like him a lot. We are so grateful for you, and today I will deliver a sermon titled Witness of the Gospel, based on today's passage, Acts chapter 1. I would like to speak about three things. One, our privilege, and two, our message, and three, our application. So what is our privilege? Who wrote the book of Acts? Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. What else did he write in the Bible? The Gospel of Luke. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke first, and then he wrote the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is a sequel of the Gospel of Luke. So in today's passage, verse 1 says, in the first book, O Theophilus. So the first book indicates the Gospel of Luke. And the verse 1 tells us that Luke wrote these two books to a person called Theophilus. And this name appears not only in verse 1 of today's passage, but also in Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Unfortunately, we don't have many records about this person, but it appears that he was Luke's patron who financially supported his ministry and his writings. Besides this, there is another interpretation of this person, Theophilus. When we parse his name, Theophilus, it consists of two Greek words, Theo and Philos. Theo in Greek language means God, and Philos indicates love. So Theophilus means by the people who love God. So for this reason, some think that Theophilus was not a person's name, but it could indicate a group of people who love God, which is all Christians. This interpretation also makes sense because the book of Acts, like other books in the Bible, is the word of God given to all Christians, including you and me. And we are the people who love God. And to those who love God, Jesus, in verse 8, gave the great commission. And he said, you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It is notable that the Great Commission was not given to everyone in this world, but only to Christians. So this is a privilege. And actually, verse 2 in today's passage says, Jesus gave this command to the apostles whom he had chosen. And we know that we are God's chosen people. Sometimes we take it for granted that we became God's children. But when we remind ourselves of our original status and destination, we come to appreciate God's grace to make me his child. What does the Bible say? Talk about our original status. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh and carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And verse 5 says, we were dead in our sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is the death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were dead in our sin, and we were under the wrath of God. So Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. About 2.5 years ago, I shared the gospel with one Taiwanese lady, and after sharing the gospel with her, I asked her if she wanted to receive Christ as her Savior. And she said, I'm happy to do that. And I asked her again, do you want to receive Christ as your only Savior? And she was puzzled a little bit. And she said, no, I don't want. So people in Taiwan have a syncretistic belief. So they are happy to add other gods to existing gods, but reject monotheism. About 8 months later, my wife and I visited her again, and she was living in the southern Taiwan, and I shared the gospel again with her. I introduced to her who Jesus is, using Jesus' I am statement from the book of John. And the Holy Spirit touched her heart, and she received Christ as her only Savior. About a year ago, she gave me a call saying, "The pastor, now I think I'm ready to be baptized, so would you please baptize me because you share the gospel with me?" She could not attend my church because she was living in a different place, and she took a bullet train from her town to Taipei, where I'm living in. And I baptized her, and during her baptism, she shared a wonderful testimony with the attendees. 8 months later, she passed away due to a terminal liver disease. Although she was God's chosen child, her decision by the Holy Spirit at the last stage of her life changed her destination. And we know where she is. She is with the Lord. She has passed from death to life. It was the moment that I felt a strong responsibility for sharing the gospel with people as a missionary. It's our privilege to become the children of God, and our privilege is extended by the Great Commission to become the witness of the gospel. Secondly, then as a witness of the gospel, what message should we deliver to the world? Let's look at verse 3. And verse 3 says, "He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God." How long did Jesus stay in the world after his resurrection? How long? How many days? 40 days. So suppose that you have only 40 days left in your life, what would you do? And the answer would be different, but it's certain that we won't waste our time, but we'll do the most important thing in our life for the last 40 days. And in verse 3, we see what Jesus did for the last 40 days in this world. What did he do? He was speaking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God was the main theme of Jesus' preaching and ministry. And when he started his public ministry, what was his message? In Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel." From the beginning to the end of his public ministry, his message focused on God's kingdom. And more specifically, the message of God's kingdom has two key components, such as Christ's suffering and his atoning death on the cross, and number two is his resurrection. Jesus destroyed Satan's kingdom through the cross and resurrection, and he established God's kingdom. This was the message that the apostles preached for God's kingdom throughout the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Acts chapter 26, verse 23, the apostle Paul spoke that the Christ must suffer and that by being the first to rise from the dead. So this is the message that we are to preach to the world as kingdom builders. In this regard, our message is different from the prosperity gospel. Whereas prosperity gospel focuses on what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, our gospel leads us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. While the prosperity gospel is self-centered and self-focused, our gospel is Christ-centered, and this gospel is powerful. 1.5 years ago, I also shared with Taiwanese young man, and he was a fine young man, but he had somehow bad habits. So every day he came back from his work, he spent several hours to play online computer games. And his mama was worrying about that, and although she was not a believer, she was happy to see me having fellowship with him. And I shared the gospel with him, and I invited him to my Chinese Bible study. And I taught him the Bible for 3 months. And after 3 months, and the Lord, Holy Spirit, and touched his heart, and he received Christ as his only Savior. After his baptism, God brought about a big change in his life. He quit playing online computer games, but began to spend several hours to read the Bible. And his faith has been built upon God's word, and his faith has been growing rapidly. One day he told me that, "Pastor, I need to quit my job, and I need to find another job." And I asked him why. He said, "I learned from your preaching that God appointed a particular day for worship." He meant Sunday worship. "Now, because of my work, I have to miss two Sundays every month. But now I became the disciple of Christ. I became God's child. I want to worship him on Sundays." So he really quit his job. 3 months later, he found another job. And in a big process, he introduced himself as a Christian. He asked the boss to allow him to attend Sunday worship service. By the way, he is not working at Chick-fil-A. Gospel changed his value system, worldview, and the life goal. In the past, he was seeking what to have more, which was money. Now he is seeking what to share with people, which is the gospel. Christ-centered gospel take us from self-centered life to Christ-centered life. And it is our privilege to become God's children and to become the witness of the gospel. And our gospel delivers the core messages of God's kingdom, Christ's suffering and his atoning death on the cross and his resurrection. Now, what is then our application in our life? Finally, let me highlight two applications briefly about how to live as the witness of the gospel in our life. First application is personal evangelism. Brothers and sisters, are you not ashamed of the gospel? Do you really believe that the gospel has the power to save sinners and the power to change people's life? Do you know the hand grenade? It looks like a big pine cone. It doesn't look so powerful. But when I was in the military training camp, I threw it and watched it falling in the right place and hid myself and covered my ears with my hands. But I could still hear a clap of thunder and could feel the vibration of the ground. I never knew the power of the hand grenade before I threw it to be exploded. In the same manner, we would never know the power of the gospel until we actually share it with our neighbors in a serious manner. So the Apostle Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because this is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The Apostle Paul shared the gospel in season and out of season. He knew how powerful the gospel was. And the power of the gospel became so tangible in his ministry. And in fact, the Apostle Paul used dunamis in Greek language to describe the power. And dynamite in English came from dunamis. And after learning Chinese, Myung and I made efforts for personal evangelism. And for the last 2 years, we shared the gospel with 65 people. And by God's grace, 21 out of 65 came to Christ. The more we shared the gospel, the more its power became tangible to us. We need evangelistic training at church, but the most effective way to become the witness of the gospel is not just learning, but depending on the Holy Spirit, actually sharing it with our non-Christian family, friends, and neighbors. All of us in the past, one day in the past, needed someone who delivered the gospel to us. Back then, we needed someone who made our Savior known to us. We can establish God's kingdom in the world by delivering the gospel message locally, nationally, and globally. And second application is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22, we can see Jesus' first preaching right after his resurrection. What did he preach? He said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And receive the Holy Spirit." So his first preaching, he said, "I am sending you and receive the Holy Spirit." So, and today's passage is linked to his first preaching after the resurrection. So these two passages, the same message is repeated and highlighted. I am sending you, and the Holy Spirit will empower you, and you will be my witness. And when we read through the book of Acts, we see a closer relationship between prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, Acts chapter 4, verse 23 says, "When the believers made a fervent prayer," and verse 31 describes what happened after their fervent prayer, "they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." The Holy Spirit uses our prayers and he empowers us to fulfill our mission. 5.5 years ago, Myung and I went to Taiwan for the first time, and we knew only two Chinese words. Ni hao, that means how are you doing, and xie xie, and thank you. But for the first 2 years, I was leading an international cooperation ministry, so most of the time I had to speak in English. But in the third year, we were afraid if we would miss the right time for learning Chinese. So we prayed very seriously for 2 weeks. "Lord, please open the door for us to improve and sharpen our Chinese language skill." After 2 weeks, all of a sudden my landlady visited us. Before that, we didn't have any fellowship with her. All of a sudden, she visited our house and she said, "I'm a retired Chinese teacher. Do you mind if I teach you Chinese every week?" But more importantly, it's free of charge. So it was God's clear answer to our prayers. So we began to learn the Chinese from her. And then 3 months later, she asked me, saying that, "Pastor, I've been attending the church for the last 20 years, but nobody taught me the Bible. So would you please teach me the Bible?" The problem was in Chinese. And she taught me Chinese only for 3 months, but she asked me to teach her the Bible in Chinese. Such an incredible request. But I prayed, and I felt that this is the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I need to obey his will. So I started, by faith, teaching them the Chinese Bible study. But sometimes I found that back then my Chinese was terrible, and sometimes I saw them nodding their heads, so I thought that they were agreeing with my teaching, but actually they were sleeping, and they couldn't tolerate my 3 months old Chinese, and even I myself sometimes couldn't tolerate my bad Chinese pronunciation. But anyway, I had to prepare for the Bible study on a regular basis, so my Chinese has been improved a lot through the Bible study. And God blessed the Bible study, and the Bible study was growing to become a church. And now we have a church so we could raise local leaders such as my pastor intern, and we could support one missionary in Taiwan through church. And the Lord blessed our Christian community to establish a missions organization called Aldink last year. And you have the detailed information about the organization in the bulletin. And when I trying to establish that Aldink missions organization, a lot of people discouraged me, saying that one person told me that, "Pastor, even if you hire a lawyer, it's almost impossible because you are just foreigner." It's in the first stage, I had to find a lot of promoters throughout Taiwan. It's like I've got to find a lot of promoters, at least 27 states out of 50 states in America. I'm just one foreigner. But the Lord gave us the most powerful vehicle to overcome our difficulties in our ministry and in our life, which is prayer. I started praying with my members. And initially, even my members' response was cynical. But I continued to pray with them for 1 year. And after 1 year of prayer, one of my members invited us to lunch, and she said, "Pastor, we have been praying for this prayer item for the last 1 year. And now I felt the Holy Spirit touch my heart to help you with the application process." And we started our application process from that day. And the government office official initially told me that even if everything goes well, it will take at least 9 months. But we pray hard and we also work the hard. And the Lord blessed us to establish this organization within 5 months. Praise the Lord. And we enrolled this organization to the Taiwanese court, and it became a corporation. That means that now we have power to help a lot of church planters to plant church throughout Taiwan. By the way, we have a plan to plant a church in central Taiwan this fall. And now we have the power to ask the Taiwanese government to issue visas to those whom we invite. Probably you know nowadays a lot of missionaries have been deported by a sensitive country. So if the Lord is leading them to Taiwan, we can help them with visas. The Lord uses our prayers. The Lord sometimes expects us to pray for a while. In the meantime, we humble ourselves before Him and depend upon Him with our whole heart. The legendary British missionary, William Carey, he said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." I would like to add and say, when we expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, God would also expect great prayer from us. The sent Son sends us to the world. While obeying His command, we need to pray without ceasing. And the kingdom ministry belongs to Him, not to us. It is not we, but the Lord who saves sinners, but the Lord who established His kingdom. So we need to be filled with His Spirit, and we need to be guided by His Spirit through our prayers. Let me close with a final illustration. There was one man who was killed in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd in 1963. And the whole world heard and came to know about his death within 2 hours. And his name was John F. Kennedy, the former U.S. president. 2,000 years ago, there was one man who died on the cross for the sinners. But even in this globalized world, more than 40% of the world population never heard about his death, and they do not know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why is it so? Because there is no witness of the gospel in their communities. Brothers and sisters, what will you do with the gospel that you have already heard? An African old saying goes, "What is the greatest crime in the desert? What is the greatest crime in the desert?" The answer is finding water and keeping silent. Finding water and keeping silent. What will you do in the gospel that you have already heard? Keeping silent or making it known to your neighbors in the world. Let's pray together.